session 6 of Peace Starts at Home with Mickey Cashton.
Hello, everyone. Today is our last class, and I like to start it the way we've started every week so far, which is with a mystery circle. I'm saying mystery because I know what I'm asking, and I never know what I'm going to receive. It's been so rich what has been shared in this intimate setting. I am once again wishing to know how you've used what we did here last week. Did any of you try to work on relationship agreements? What happened? Any other thoughts, experiences, or questions that you have? That's what I would like to do as a first circle. Who would like to start? Just press 1. Thank you, Natasha. And Maria, you will be next.
Well, I wanted to share a little bit about the conversation I had. We finally were able to talk yesterday morning, and I did what I normally wouldn't do, which is I just, you know, took the coaching and was very vulnerable and just explained how I'd been feeling nervous and wanted to avoid conflict. But I really took responsibility in our conversation for my not being honest. And it was amazing because I was so afraid that she would interrupt me, but she just listened. And the listening was so deep, and she just then ended up sharing, and I found that she also was very vulnerable about what she had felt and what she had experienced, and it was such a different kind of a conversation than we've ever had before, and I'm pretty blown away by the power of just being vulnerable, which is, you know, that was a tough one for me, and I liked claiming it and then just seeing, you know, that it actually has the power to, you know, just open up something for her too. And we ended our conversation, I think both of us feeling very heard and both of us desiring to find a way to work together. But really, we highlighted that we wanted to respect our differences and honor where each other was coming from. And we wanted there to be integrity. So there were some things that we really agreed on that were important to us. And I also experienced her acknowledging me, and I also had an opportunity to acknowledge her strength and gifts. It was just really nice, and I've been so anxious about this for at least a month. I felt great afterwards, like a huge burden had been lifted from my shoulders. I can't even tell you how relieved I felt. So that piece was really, really amazing. And the question I wanted to ask...
May I say something before you go to a question? I want to say that I'm thrilled and delighted and not at all surprised that this was your experience. And I want to say for you and everyone else, there are no guarantees. On the path of vulnerability, there are no guarantees. There will be times when you're vulnerable and you don't get the response that you want. That does happen. I'm saying this because it's so easy to kind of like fall into a place of like, oh, now I know the answer. I will be vulnerable and then everybody will respond well to me. And it can be very devastating when it doesn't happen unless we remember that the practice in some ways is its own reward. And the amazing magical response from other people is manna from heaven. It's grace. We can't control it. We can't predict it. I just wanted to put that out so that everybody holds it with that kind of like humility. Does that make sense to you?
Completely. And I think for me, I did feel amazing that I'd spoken my truth. And did it in a way that felt right to me. That is really important regardless of the outcome.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. And now, question.
This has to do with something else. I'm visiting home right now, and I'm just wondering, my dad's very, very sick, and he's sort of held on to this death of his mother and blamed himself for, you know, 40 years. Last night we were talking about just, you know, sharing and speaking up and truth-telling, and he started talking about his mother, and it's like he keeps coming back to blaming himself for her death. And I kept listening compassionately, and I've done this so many times with him, and I don't know if this my dad's just brain is wired a certain way, and he's just going to keep, like, he acknowledged that he tortures himself with this, and but it's like he finds it very hard to just be in the present and stop beating himself up. And then at some point, I just stopped listening with giraffe ears and said, well, Dad, you know, we're right here. Mom's right here. Could you stop obsessing? And I, of course, became analytical. And then we talked again this morning, but I'm left with this question of, like, I don't know if I keep feeding that. He just keeps going. And in the past, I've noticed he just doesn't stop. It's almost like I want to know, is there an end to listening that way? Like, does it provide a service for him, or does it keep him in the place of beating himself up?
I'm really appreciating the question, and it is the difference between listening for feelings and listening for needs. In other words, I think he is expressing all kinds of feelings of guilt and all of that, and you are listening. That may create relief in the moment. It doesn't necessarily create any movement or healing. So the deeper question is, what is your sense of what he really wants there? You can ask yourself, what human need would lead someone to stay in this loop of self-recrimination for so many years? I don't know the answer, and I don't know that I want to sit and figure out the answer with you. I want to leave you with the question. And if you keep thinking about it, if you rigorously hold on to the notion that every action, including self-recrimination, is an attempt to meet a human need, you find the need, and you frame it in positive terms. I'll just give you an example. I'm not at all saying that this is what it is, but just one possibility. Let's say that what this does is maybe gives them some way to make meaning of a loss. If you were to ask him, Dad, are you telling me all of this because you're trying to make meaning of the loss of your mother? Whether it's true or false, that's not the point. You see how it's a conversation changer.
Yes, I do.
You take it to that level, and then he stops and starts reflecting because it's at a different level. So it kind of like disrupts the lull of the process. So that's your homework for yourself.
Thank you.
All right. Maria Teresa?
I want to say that there is a definite difference in my relationship with my husband. Last time when we were talking, you suggested that I write something down and give it to him and say, when I lose it, please do this. He heard it. I'm sharing with him a lot of what is going on in the class and for me, and I'm seeing that he is using it as well. So it's really wonderful in the sense that there is a qualitative difference in my relationship with him. We begin to talk about things that have been very difficult with greater sense of ease and softness to it. Mm-hmm. I also notice, well, something did happen in which I misinterpreted a feeling that he was demonstrating. I was in a hurry, so I left without completing my thought. And when I came back, you know, I said, well, can we finish it now? And I told him, and he said, well, what I was feeling was completely different from what you understood. And that is something that I would like to ask about, because I see that the way that I perceive my perception of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Today I received a letter from a friend that I thought that I had lost, and now after 2 years she's telling me that she thinks of us fondly. And I go, like, how could I possibly have such a difference in perception of,
yeah,
from what's happening and what I'm thinking is happening? I guess this is why being vulnerable and saying how I'm feeling, even if it's completely off the mark, at least would give a point of truer connection than just keeping it to myself. How can it be that my perception could be so off?
Guess is that the answer is trauma. Because what happens when we have trauma, the way that I understand it, and I'm not a neuroscientist and I don't even know if what I'm saying is making physiological sense, but at least metaphorically. The way I understand trauma is a set of events that do not get processed or integrated and therefore leave their mark on the nervous system such that it's predisposed to interpret reality in a way that matches the trauma. So if your trauma was, let's say, that somebody beat you up, then any time that there is conflict or difficulty or you think you're doing something that displeases another person, your nervous system will start getting ready for being beaten up, even though it's not happening in the present, because it has registered a connection between conflict, displeasure, and you being beaten up. Let's say that your trauma is that people left you without, you know, arranging for you to be cared about. Then if somebody is 10 minutes late from work, you think they're not coming at all. You see what I mean?
Yes, Mickey. I'm so blown away by the depth of your understanding of some of these human relationships. It's exactly, yes.
So,
how to work with this or how to work
with it. Yeah. First of all, you notice that even though I was providing an interpretive framework, this is an interpretation what I was giving, an interpretation of how humans work. It's a needs-based interpretation. It's not pathologizing anything. It's pretty descriptive and pretty close to raw human needs. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So, there are several ways to work with trauma. In terms of NVC proper, the single most important piece is to continually assume that your perception of reality is not based on the present. And then use that assumption to motivate you to check things out before you make conclusions. That's one way that you start building new neural connections based on the present and not on the past. Because what most of us do is we have an interpretation, we take it to be the truth, and we react to it before the other person has any chance to say or do anything. You with me?
Completely, yes, I see it.
You subvert this process by checking with the other person, training yourself to check. And since you're already practicing vulnerability, you just add this. So I'm having a reaction. The reaction is based on an interpretation. I know that my interpretations are usually from the past. I don't have a substitute interpretation. It would be so helpful to me if you give me one. Can I tell you what my interpretation is and check it out with you? You're already in connection. It takes discipline.
Thank you. I will do this. This makes sense. I can see how I need to do this again and again.
That's not all there is to it. That's the piece of untying the past from the present. It's very consistent work. It's a practice. It's an ongoing practice. Second, all of us need to heal our trauma. And if you want to heal your trauma using NVC, I can recommend a couple of people that work with individuals and can do some sessions with you, even on the phone. It's a certain type of role play that can be very liberating. I would highly recommend Roxy Manning. Go to the Bay NVC website, find the phone number and call Bay NVC. And that's one thing. The other thing is, I would imagine that there would be EFT practitioners where you are.
Okay. Yes, I'm sure.
Find a really good one, because it's a very good process for relieving trauma. But just like anything else, people are varied levels of capacity. Not everybody has the same kind of results. So ask around. Okay? Those are my three things. A practice, a certain kind of healing using NVC, and EFT.
Okay. This is a separate question. My middle sister is taking medication for depression. And yesterday she told me that she has started again having suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Roxy is a licensed psychologist, so you can ask her. She would be more knowledgeable than me about how to support your sister. I haven't personally had a huge success with depression. Very few people using pure NVC have. I think the work of Byron Katie is something that many people have found very helpful for depression. But not just like dabble in it. Go do the 10-day intensive.
Okay.
It'll come back from it, you know, in a different place.
Thank you for that suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, Gosha.
Ever since the session to which, you know, you took me, so I had such a breaking point. Mm-hmm. I had ups and downs. I followed up on some of your suggestions, and again, we had a misunderstanding with my son, and he started to repeat a couple of times a day. He says, "Nobody's nice to me. Nobody's nice to me." I wasn't able to hear him with the NVC in my mind. At first, I think I was stunned, and I was meeting that with silence. Finally, you know, I would point out to him what a nice thing happening in his life and everybody's doing. But of course, that had fallen on deaf ears. So then a couple of times I got to the point that I would say, I don't want to hear this anymore. And then one time I was driving in the car with him, and he said to me, "I am still upset about this morning." And I quickly, you know, stopped myself from reacting, and I followed on your work. I asked, "How is it for you, when mom yells at you? Is it frightening?" So I started to offer it. And he said, "Yes." So I tried to be empathic, and I said, you know, is it frightening because you would like to feel safe when we are together? And he would say, "Yes." It was actually very interesting how verbal he was able to be about his feelings. And I offered many, many, many word for empathy, and then I said, "Would you like to hear how it was for me?" Before even I heard the answer, I already almost got ready to talking, and I heard an intent in him to oppose, and I said, "Oh, you know, you don't want to hear?" And he said, "Okay, I want to hear." I told him that I'm also not happy about it, that I'm sad, now all day about the morning, and I'm trying to figure out a better way how to go about the violent practice in the morning so we don't get into this upset routine. I said, "Do you have any ideas what we could do?" And he says, "No, I don't." And I said, "I was thinking about it and I have some ideas. Would you like to hear?" He says, "Yes." I said, I noticed that particularly when we practice new song, which is very, I guess, difficult for you and frustrating, then you get upset, and as a result, I get upset as well. So I thought that when we have particularly new piece that we practice, that before we say to each other, before we start the practicing session, that we say to each other, if we get upset, it will take a stop for hugs and kisses. And Mickey, he giggled with glee. He just squealed with glee when I said that.
Oh, do you realize how much change you have created? This is amazing what you're telling me, all of us. It is astonishing because every moment of that interaction is a connecting moment. Even if he has no idea, he knows you asked for his ideas. You see what I mean? You ask mm-hmm. him, "Was it this?" And he says, "Yes." That's a moment of connection. And you did, it sounds like, about 30 such things. I'm just delighted for you that you were able to do that and that both of you felt the difference. You're on your way. It's not going to be a linear process and it's not going to be overnight, but you're on your way. I see that. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And I want more of these moments.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I wrote on my hand, give empathy to A when upset. And we were eating our breakfast, and he said, "Mommy, what is this writing on your hand?" At first, I was startled that he noticed, and I just read it to him, and I said, "I just read it to him." And again, he squealed. You know, he was so happy. that I guess it was a thought coming through, that, you know, that I think about him and I think about these moments that I'm not happy when we don't have harmony between us. So it was pretty amazing. The violent practice got a little bit better than in the past.
Yeah.
We both are making effort and it's more joyous than it has been ever.
That is awesome. Thank you. I'm really curious if I am the only one who is inspired hearing this huge difference between what you shared with us a few weeks ago and now, or others are too. So I want to check out if anyone listening to this story is feeling inspired and celebratory about what Gosha has been able to do. Please press 3. Everyone. And Lori wrote a little note saying, tears in my eyes.
In mine too.
Tears of gratitude are fuel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Jean and then Shannon.
I just wanted to express also to Gosha how moved I was by what you just shared. It was such a gift to me because I remember how poignantly, how much you were reaching out for some direction, some assistance in connecting with real heart in a heartfelt way with your son rather than from a should perspective, and how much your conversation has shifted. And it just brought up so many memories to me of so many difficult conversations that I've had with my own children and that I see my children having with their children. It just gives me a lot of hope that people can make such a refreshing difference in their ability to connect with children in such a short time. Very deeply moved by that.
Thank you.
I mean, more than anything that went on in my own week, my own personal week, although it was something a little bit, maybe somewhat similar, I, as I've mentioned, I'm in a spiritual group or I'm in a leadership position, and often there's an expectation for leaders to give personal guidance to members. And when I started taking some NVC classes, I realized, oh my gosh, people may not even want unsolicited guidance. And it's so important to first connect with just, or to be fully present with just where they are in their life, what's going on, what's important, or what's their need, what's moving them right now, what do they want. And so I think I went overboard and subsequently really trying to listen, give empathy, give understanding. And recently I've come to a point where there are many situations that people have brought to my attention about issues of real discomfort and difficulty in their own lives. And I've noticed that I just feel more comfortable now being able to step forward and ask them if they're willing to hear, if they're ready to hear my thoughts or my guidance about a particular situation in terms of their own practice, religious practice. And not only that, but in the way that you did, Gosha, as the conversation moves along, rather than giving a huge lecture to someone, as I used to do, to ask them how what I just said, how was that for you to hear that? In what way was that helpful for you? This has been a huge shift for me to be able to integrate these skills into my need to connect with people in a way I would like to.
Thank you. Thanks. And Shannon, you complete our circle.
I left last session so hopeful for speaking with my sister. And I'm pretty discouraged because I had played phone tag with her for a few days and then finally spoke to her on briefly, and I could tell that she was just not herself, and I just didn't know what to do. I made the choice not to try to talk about forming any kind of relationship agreement, because I guess I had this huge question, like, how could I ask something of that from her when she's just kind of having a rough go of things. And yet I feel so urgent to talk to her about our relationship and like what's not working and to figure out a way for it to be healthier.
Yeah. So remember that having a conversation about relationship agreements, even the having of that conversation, is essentially a request. You cannot demand that of another person.
Okay.
So if you sense that she's not in a place to participate in this conversation, then you wait. Meanwhile, while waiting, you model the agreements you want to make with her.
Can you give me an example of how that would look?
How do you want you to handle conflict, the two of you? When there's conflict, what would you want you do?
I'd love it for us to try to just talk through it and try to figure out what the core issues are instead of the pattern blowing up and sometimes she'll hang up on me and then not speaking for several weeks. I would love it if we actually just talked about it.
Okay, so you can't get her to agree to it, but you can do it yourself. So what you can do is she hangs up the phone, you wait a couple of days and you call her and very lovingly say, you know, I know that conversation was rough. I would really like to stay in contact and to talk about it. Are you willing? In this way, you model what you want. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. And yet it sounds really wonderful to... It sounds like it's recognizing my own power to not just give up because she doesn't answer the phone or something, you know, which is what I've done in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a form of power. I'm really delighted that both you and Natasha both have had today spoke of that visceral sense of the power of vulnerability, the power of just living into how we want to be. So that gives me a lot of nourishment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there more? Are you complete for the moment?
Yeah, I think that was it. My major thing was like, how do I have a relationship with someone who lives on the other coast who just doesn't very often answer her phone? I just have been felt pretty hopeless about how do I do this if she doesn't answer her phone, or when she answers, she doesn't have very much energy to talk to me.
So you send her loving emails.
Okay.
Basically,
yeah.
You don't let her define the terms of your interaction. That's how you take power.
Wow.
She wants to withdraw and you don't, then she
yeah.
has no power. If you stay engaged, if you stay loving, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal. You send her a quick email and you say, I realize you don't want to talk. I want you to know I think about you. I love you. I want us to resume contact as soon as it works for you.
Okay. I'm actually hopeful to realize that I actually did do that today without realizing. I sent her a message via Facebook, which I don't do very often, although I know she like uses her Facebook a lot, and just told her I was thinking about her and you know, I'd love to talk soon and stuff. So
there you go. I'm becoming superfluous. You already know what to do anyway.
Hardly. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Anything else still remaining from last week before we move into the material for this week?
I just had a quick question following Shannon's sharing, because my sister was over. I definitely wanted to reach out to her, and you know, it was awkward. Basically, I'd sent her an email, and it had created a big... You know, I think she felt unsafe and hurt, and then she had a miscarriage, and I think she does have a strong need for safety. Until last night, I was being with her, not talking to me, and trying to share space and just be in the moment. And at some point, I said, you know, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And she just said, I'm in the middle of praying, and then she curled up, didn't move, and then said, you know, I don't feel well, and stayed like that the whole evening and then left. And this morning I just woke up very sad, and I was trying to think, well, I do have a strong need for connection and harmony, and I'm thinking, I was trying to get sense into her needs, and I thought, well, maybe she just needs a lot of safety, and I just don't want to be intrusive, and I worry about even sending an email, and I don't know how to hold both, because I also feel like she's defining the interaction, and I don't want it to be that way.
So what you can do is you can send her an email in which you say most of what you said to me, which is, I was unsure about sending you this email because I really want to respect your wishes. And so if this is appearing intrusive to you, please forgive me. I just wanted to let you know that I love you, that I care about you, that blah, 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 blah. Please give me feedback about whether this email was welcome or not. Simple.
And what if she doesn't respond?
And she doesn't respond, then you take that to mean that it's okay to do it again after a few days.
Okay.
You know, many years ago I was in a relationship with someone that was it was a very difficult relationship. About 2 years into it, this person out of the blue said, all these months when you have been offering me empathy and I was barking at you or withdrawing or not responding, I really needed the empathy and I didn't have enough capacity inside to say so. Thank you for continuing. It was such an amazing gift to receive this. Just didn't know how to say it, what the person said.
Thank you.
All right. Today's topic is about celebration and gratitude. I would like to give you plenty of time to experiment with doing celebration and gratitude role plays. We dedicate so much of our time in NVC circles to expressing difficult messages, offering empathy for difficult message, getting support when we are upset. And I really like us to become more and more conscious of the power of celebration and gratitude and bring that more and more into our life, into our relationships, into our workplaces, into everywhere that we live. So I would like to start by dividing you into two groups. And what I would like you to do in the group, I would like one person and then possibly a second person to really practice reviewing the questions and then do a role play of expressing the gratitude and the celebration. You will be amazed at how vulnerable it is to express these things. And then in particular, how vulnerable it is to ask for appreciation. I'd like you to play with that in your groups and then we'll come back and delve a little more deeply into one or two of those. And then I would like us to do a circle of appreciation within our full group, and that will take us to the end. So any questions about what I'm asking you to do in the group? Dean?
The person that came up for me when I read through your preparation notes was my grandmother, but she's no longer here. She died several decades ago.
All the more reason to do it in a role play.
Yeah, oh good. When you said ask for appreciation, I was wondering how...
In the role play,
yeah.
Whoever role plays your grandmother
yeah.
will know what to say at when the moment comes. However, if you have a real live person, especially if you have a difficult relationship, to infuse gratitude and celebration into a challenging relationship is amazing, the power that it has. So I'm not expecting that you shift. I just wanted to offer that to you and to others to consider.
Thank you.
So I'd like to take 20 minutes for this practice to really give you a chance to relax and splurge into it. Welcome back. So I would like to know what emerged in your groups and what you would like to explore together, questions, insights, extensions. Just checking in with Gosha, did you want to share anything?
I made a note just before we broke into groups. I wasn't the one that was sharing, but two of my group members shared. And I noticed that, you know, you said just before we broke that it's, at the end, we asked for appreciation, and you warned us how difficult it is to ask for it. I have to say that both members of my group were very, I think, shy about really asking. You know, they were very generous in expressing, but they just hardly mentioned that they want to hear appreciation back.
Yeah.
Why did you know that that's how it is?
I've been on the blog. You know, are you familiar with this phenomenon of just like playful make-believe dialogues? Oh, that's a lovely dress. Oh, never mind. I bought it at a thrift shop. Your hair looks great. Are you kidding? I haven't washed it in 2 weeks. Do you know the phenomenon that I'm talking about?
Yes.
We deflect appreciation. My guess is that we are so starved for it that we try to be numb to our hunger, and that if somebody actually appreciates us, we get in touch with the hunger again. And that's kind of overwhelming. So to ask for it requires us to first recognize that we have a hunger for it and we want it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you. Jean.
In our group, the person that I expressed gratitude for, towards, and asked for appreciation was my husband, who passed away 10 years ago. And this was, I was so choked. There was so much feeling for me. It was really hard to get through the role play, but it was the first time that I've so actively expressed gratitude for someone who is no longer here in such a moving way for me. Two things that were interesting, and I want to respond to Gosha's comment, too, about appreciation, asking for appreciation, that when I first thought about this role play with my deceased husband, the thoughts that came up for me were all my regrets about things that we hadn't completed in our marriage, that we hadn't finished talking about, or that we hadn't fully shared, or we hadn't resolved, or, you know, all so much regret that comes up in my thoughts about him still and dreams. But during the process of expressing gratitude, those sort of dissolve. I'm sure they're still there, but it brought up a whole different set of feeling, and I'm grateful to have had that experience. The appreciation, yes, there's probably huge areas of appreciation. I really thought about it that I would have liked to have asked for. At the same time, what came up for me while I was going through the role play was that, oh, how wonderful, towards the end of his life, when he could barely speak, but he expressed so much appreciation. That was so moving to me. And I'm sure there are many areas where I could have still asked for more, and that's maybe something that I can choose to continue.
Yeah.
This role play at a different time.
Yeah.
And that, having that experience of being heard by him in that, or whoever plays that part, may give me a lot of a sense of peace or completion with things. I'd never thought of that before.
I'm thrilled that you had this experience.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything about the work that you did in your group? Okay. Shannon.
I noticed I almost tendency to ramble on with my gratitude without even checking to see if it was being received or not. I thought, oh my gosh, I don't even know how this is landing, or if she can even hear this without hearing or feeling that inadequacy or deflecting it. I really want to give this in a way that she can hear it, and I want to try to pause after every few words and check in and see if she can.
Yeah. Thank you for saying this, because that tendency to deflect diminishes the power of the expression. And, you know, it's my only form of torture that I accept, is torturing people with appreciation. People squirm. And I want us all to grow in our capacity to take it in.
I wonder about how hard it was for me to ask for it. I didn't even really know how to ask for it. But I said, you tell me one thing that you appreciate me. I think that's what I said. And it was just, it was like terrifying. It was so scary.
I'm glad you did it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Maria Teresa?
I have to say the same thing that Shannon did about asking for appreciation feels exceedingly awkward, especially because I want appreciation for something that I am feeling that is the very center of my being, but that I feel that it is resisted at times. And it is that quality of me to persevere, persist, to try to go down deep into what is the cause of this, that is the same quality that causes irritation in the other person, and yet it's the quality that I want him to appreciate in me exceedingly hard. I feel that in my own thoughts, I'm already countering that he's going to appreciate me for that. You know, he's not. It's not going to be possible.
Yeah. So what I would say is all of this, including your asking for the appreciation. All of this. And you can always say when you ask for an appreciation, you can say, you may be ambivalent about this. There may be things about this thing that I'm asking you to appreciate that you don't like. And I would be happy to hear them in another moment. In this moment, I'm just wondering if there is any aspect of this in me that you appreciate, and if so, if you could tell me, just to nourish my soul.
And I also see this is another way for me to check my own perception.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Now I would like each and every one of us to receive appreciations from others. So is anyone willing to be first? Then the rest of us will appreciate you. And the appreciation, I want it to be specific and owned. In other words, to say I appreciate your courage is not as far as I would like it to go. So instead to say, you know, when you were sharing about your husband, son, daughter, whatever, and you shared something that sounded to me like it was uncomfortable for you and a stretch, I really appreciated your willingness to do that, is much more specific. Observational and specific, and also to say why you appreciated it, what it meant for you. So we are both doing it and practicing how to do an appreciation that has the maximum effect. So who is willing to be first in receiving appreciation?
Natasha, I will.
Great, thank you. So just, you know, reflect on these past few weeks and whatever you remember of what Natasha brought to our group, we would like to appreciate. So I'm happy to start. And the piece that stands out to me is the way that, you know, I heard it today and I remember it from before, although dimly, that you take what we do here and then you go home and you apply it. And you come back to tell the results. I really appreciated that because it both supported me in knowing that what I'm doing is contributing, and I had hoped that it would be supportive and inspiring for others. How is that to hear?
It's wonderful, actually. It feels great.
Thank you.
This is Gosha. I want to thank Natasha for bringing up the issue with her coworker. Because I think I could, on some level, I could identify with it when she was expressing difficulty and, you know, how she tried to approach the woman and yet it wasn't working. Well, so I admired her courage, but also it helped me learn from her example and from how both of you engaged in dialogue on that. So it was very learning and clarifying experience for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And close the loop, check in with her if she was able to receive it.
Did that contribute to your well-being, Natasha, what I said?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to add anything for Natasha?
This is Jean, and I wanted to express my appreciation, Natasha, for your willingness to receive my gratitude when we went through this just this last role play for me with my husband, because I felt extremely vulnerable and I was just barely able to hang in there. And so just the sensitivity with which you picked up what I was wanting so much to express was a real gift, because I just felt so much more fully heard at a time when communicating in that way seemed so impossible, you know, kind of otherworldly to me. I'm really grateful, because now it allows me to go on and continue this process for myself.
Natasha, how was this to receive? Were you able to take it in and enjoy it?
It's delicious. So yes, it really matters to me to be able to contribute to people, so absolutely.
Thank you. I know it wasn't everyone, and maybe others have something to add or not. I want to move to another person to make sure that we get to everyone. So who feels ready?
I'm ready. This is Shannon.
Thank you. I'm also, again, happy to start. I am in particular appreciating your willingness, as I'm telling myself, that you're willing to not be cool, quote-unquote, and use NVC in your life in all kinds of situations, even though it's sometimes not well received. I have such deep appreciation for that willingness to experiment and take the heat. It really gives me a sense of companionship around living in the world with the full of our values. Thank you for doing that. Does that match how you see yourself?
Yeah, and I think I get caught up in focusing on when the experimenting doesn't work. So it's really wonderful to think that my doing that, choosing to do that, could actually contribute to someone else. Yeah, it gives me a lot of joy to know that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this is Natasha. I really wanted to acknowledge your tenacity. I just found that whenever you shared about your sister, it just seemed like it didn't really matter to you whether it looked a certain way or not. Like there was just a freedom in falling down and picking yourself back up that was so remarkable to me, because sometimes I struggle with how things might appear. And I loved your willingness to just keep going and not be ruled by that. It was a real example for me, and I'm deeply grateful to you. Do you feel seen by that?
Yeah, I am. The word that's coming to mind listening to is the word resilient, and that's a word that I love and that I often don't apply to myself. And so what you just told me, I think, is it's pretty amazing that I felt like you described someone who's resilient in a way. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Shannon, this is Maria Teresa. This is very hard for me because I don't feel like I can find my words. But I want to say that I really appreciate, first of all, your vibrancy as a person. You come through like a very alive, very present person to me. And the tenacity that Natasha was just talking about, the fact that you keep at it, and the experimenting that Mickey mentioned, all of these things were very, very important for me to hear, and they inspired me. I remember you saying that you were practicing NVC with a friend at work, and that was inspirational to me. So I really have appreciated and have delighted in listening to you, and really value and feel for your willingness to stick to it and not just give up, for instance, on your sister. That is so precious to me. So thank you. Thank you for having demonstrated that.
And check in. Close the loop.
So how do you receive this, or how do you hear this?
I'm feeling very loved. I'm feeling very 3 days to hear those things and to think about letting them into how I perceive myself is pretty radical, and it feels like something I would like to stretch to do.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move to another person. Again, not because it's necessarily complete, just because I want to touch everybody's heart in this way.
Okay, this is Maria Teresa.
Good to see you. I want to express my gratitude to Maria Teresa, because I think at the very first session, I was so frightened. I tend to be a person who sits on the fence and just observes, and I was hoping I can get away with this in here, but Mickey would not let me. And also, I was so inspired because at the very first session, what Maria Teresa said, she expressed about herself that she has a problem with anger, and she was so open about it that it really touched me. And I thought I should also be open and try to express myself the same way, and I was making the decision to get off the fence. So thank you, Maria Teresa, and I wonder how this landed with you.
You're most welcome, Gausha. I am so delighted to hear that my opening led to perhaps in some measure help you open and share with us your own story, which has so touched all of our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to add, Maria Teresa, in our breakout session today, that I was really moved to hear your strength to be committed to yourself and to learn and stretch yourself. And hearing that, I realized that that's what I want, even if the other person isn't being as agreeable as I would like. So to hear you share about your commitment to just keep going and making those small incremental changes in your relationship with your husband is so beautiful and so encouraging for me to think of wanting to do that in the future. And I'd love to hear how you're receiving this.
Thank you, Shannon. It's really important for me to hear what you just said, because I tend to discount myself. And I tend to even be apologetic about the way that I am, but somehow it comes through anyway. So thank you. Thank you for having heard me, for appreciating it.
This is Jean. I just wanted to add, when I just heard you say that you tend to discount yourself, I wanted to express, it's pretty similar to what Gosha has said, I guess it's more than courage, but just the straightforwardness of wanting so much to move forward in your ability to connect with people that you really care about, including yourself. For me, that's, rather than discounting, it's like, wow, that's a tremendous expression of self, I don't know, of appreciating ourselves or really valuing our own life, put our life out there in a group like this and just say, I really want to understand what's going on so badly. Can you hear me and support me in this process? And just your growing in this process of connecting, I think it was first with your husband, was so transformative to me. Was so wonderful for me to hear, to see that go on.
Jean, close the loop.
Close the loop. How this has affected my life, or how...
Check back in with Maria Teresa.
Yeah.
You notice,
if you review
the exchanges that we've had so far, you will notice that some of the sweetest moments were the person reflecting on the effect on them.
Yes. So I would love to hear how what I just said, what effect that had for you, how you heard what I just said.
Thank you, Jean. I feel affirmed by what you said, which is often comes with a doubt for me, with a question mark. So thank you very, very much. I appreciate hearing that and hearing what you had to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So who is next? There's Lori, Gosha, Jean, and I.
I'm ready, Gosha.
Gosha, I want to say how deeply touched I was with your honesty, your vulnerability, telling us about your story with your child, with your son, it really pierced my heart. And I felt so encouraged by the strength of your vulnerability. And in today's class, listening to you working with your son using empathy, it just overjoyed me. Thank you so very, very much for the contribution that you've made to all of our lives by sharing. And I wonder how you received this.
Your appreciation just strengthens my commitment to this new way of being. Thank you.
Before anyone else goes, I just want to give a tiny bit of feedback to you, Maria Teresa, that I like to speak only for myself. If I say something about the contribution that you've made to all of our lives, and if there's someone in the group, for whatever reason, who doesn't feel that way, in that moment, they feel separate. Can you see that?
Yes, I can see that. So, Gosha, it's for my life, the contribution you've made to my life. And indeed, that is the case.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Gosha, what I would like to say is I am appreciating the trust that you place in me that allowed you to go so far in your process of healing that I am just, I find it breathtaking to see how much you've been able to integrate since then. And I am very touched and appreciate tremendously whatever it is that you did inside that allowed you to do that. Wondering if this is nourishing for you to hear.
It is very much so. Thank you very much, Mickey.
Gosha, this is Natasha. I just want to say thank you for sharing even when it was really, really, really difficult to do so. And your willingness to share and take coaching and practice it, all of that made a huge difference. And every time that you shared, you connected me to my heart. And I just am deeply, deeply grateful to you for your strength and your vulnerability and for supporting me in being in my heart. So thank you. And I'm wondering how it feels for you to hear that.
Thank you. I'm very touched by your words of appreciation. Thank you very much.
So it's now Lori, Jean, and I.
This is Jean. I'd be glad to receive appreciation next.
Jean, this is Lori. And I just want to say that when I see your name come up on the screen, there's just a sense in me of, I don't know, it's just trust because of the way I've experienced you on many calls, your willingness to hold people in pain and your own sharing. And I was in your room today and I was very moved by your sharing of your husband. And so I just want to say how much I have enjoyed being with you on this call and other calls. And so I'd like to know how you receive this.
Oh, it just really warms my heart, and I just feel very embraced by you. I feel very close to you right now. That's just a very joyful feeling for me. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Another small piece of coaching, which is I want you all to aim for variety in your questions for closing the loop so that not everybody says, how do you receive this, which will then become a new piece of jargon. Just vary the way that you reach out to hear what's in the other person. Let your heart find a way to ask for it instead of thinking that there is a way to do it.
This is Natasha. I just want to thank you deeply for what you shared in the breakout session about your husband, and also for the quality of deep, deep listening that I received from you. I just felt seen, and I'd love to use that word also, just held. held by you and the space you provide, and it just felt very safe, and I felt very seen, and I'm very deeply grateful to you. And I'm hoping that what I said is a contribution to you, is it?
Yes. Yes. What it means is to me that whatever I said at the breakout session really connected with you more than just, I don't know, it wasn't formulaic, but that somehow it was received heart to heart, because that's what I'm hoping to go for. Not just the words, you know, saying it right, but to break through words to really connect. Thank you. Yeah.
This is Gosha. I also want to express my gratitude to Eugene a couple sessions back when we were talking about the friend who lived in your house and the issues that are connected with that, and how I was amazed how much understanding you had and how much space you left for the friend who lived in your house, and how much space you left between what you wanted done right now and seeing how he is and how difficult for him is, and giving him that space to slowly go toward the goal that both of you agreed on. It was, for me, very inspiring that you didn't push right away for what you wanted, but you just left that huge space for this person. It was, I think, a show of love, compassion, and kindness. It was very inspiring. Thank you.
And close the loop.
And I wonder if, you know, what I said, if it touches your heart.
Yes, that touches, it really does, Gosha, because first, I'm just amazed that you even remembered that. And also because there's so few people that appreciate my connection with this person in that way, because usually I get so much advice and almost disapproval of how I'm handling things. So that was really wonderful to hear.
Thank you. So just to not be last, because I often put myself last in situations like this, how about I go first?
Yes.
This is Natasha. I just want to thank you. I did not know what to expect when I enrolled in this course. You're such a support and resource for me. And I've felt so alone in this process. And each week, and with the handouts and just what you, the coaching and the love and the capacity to stay with me that you showed me, just it really left me feeling heard and hopeful. And it's just been a great, great model for me, and I'm deeply grateful to you. And I would love to know how you feel hearing that.
I am really happy to hear the specifics and feel really delighted to have had this effect on you, because it just is what I want.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Gosha. I'm just crying with each appreciation talk. I so appreciated you. To some degree, I knew. I listened to some of your classes, and so I knew that you were amazing.
Amazing is I'm sorry, but...
Okay, generalization, yes.
It's an evaluation.
Yes, okay. I was inspired by how I listened to a course, and I was inspired how you were able to create a lot of space between people's attitude and guide them very gently toward a vision. And also from our course, what I'm amazed at is how quickly you perceive from just couple words. Somebody says couple words about their problem, and you have immediate understanding of what this is all about, even deeper understanding than the person who is in the midst of the problem, and you immediately, very gently, unfold this vision in front of them so that they know which way to head.
Thank you.
So that was very inspiring to me. How is that sounding to you, Mickey?
Oh, I love it. I love it, because I had a big smile as you were speaking, because it's a quality that I enjoy about myself, being able to hear things and kind of like see to the essence of what it is. So it's really nice when something that I value about myself is valued by another person, especially someone I care about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nikki, this is Shannon. I want to say I've really appreciated the times that you've shared about examples from your own life. And the one that is at the front of my memory is just the one you shared tonight about the person you're in the relationship with. And specifically, I think it's that hearing and imagining you going through these challenging situations or struggling just makes me feel really connected to you and makes me feel really more able to celebrate that I'm on this journey and that it's okay that I'm on this journey and it's okay that I'm not where I want to be yet.
Mm.
I wonder if you can hear how that's really given me a lot to hear from your personal experience.
Yes, I am particularly enjoying this because it's the opposite of what I often hear from people, that when they hear something about how I do something, they feel discouraged and hopeless that they will ever get there. So to hear that my telling the stories actually gave you room to not be perfect is delightful. Yum. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Lori. So I want to get really quickly in there because several times I haven't had a chance to get in there with people. Lori, I don't know how to say this. I want to take, you know, like a rope or a string and tie me to you and take you with me everywhere I go. I want to name in particular two aspects. One is your willingness to step in and out of being an active participant. And my perception that you exercise discernment about when to do that and when not, which I really treasure, your humanity becoming part of what we hold together and also your capacity to step back and let other people have their experience of the class on their own. And the second piece is the tone of your voice when you give instructions, which I experience in a way that when I imagine myself being a participant, I feel calm and peaceful and trusting that everything is handled and I don't have to be anxious or worried. So I'm really appreciating your giving this to people, the capacity to focus without any concern about the logistics. I don't know if that is true. I'm just imagining that. So I'm wondering if what I'm saying are things, if my perceptions are even matching your sense of what you do.
I'm really enjoying hearing it. First of all, I'd like to tie myself to you and bring you with me wherever I go.
It sounds like we have a deal there, don't we?
Yeah, we do. It's mutual. I love that. And I'm really pleased that you are picking up on my discernment.
Yeah.
When to participate and when to step back. And it's very nice to hear the reflection that my voice is calming when I give the instructions at the beginning, because I know that's really my role. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Who
big
else?
Smile on my face.
Who else?
Lori, this is Shannon. That's exactly how I felt. I felt so at ease the way you articulate clearly what number to press when and the tech stuff, and I just was like, oh, this is my first teleclass, and I was so nervous, and I thought, I don't even know if I want to do this, because not being able to see people's faces is really challenging for me, and so the way that you were so calm and present and caring, it just really made it a joy to hear your voice welcoming me when I would come on the calls. I'm wondering if you can, how that is for you, if you have joy hearing that, or...
Yes, I do. It is. It's nice to hear that about my voice, because that's the only thing you get from me. You can't see me, so it's really nice to hear that. Thank you, Shannon, especially since it was your first telecourse, and that gave you some ease.
Yes, yes.
Anyone else?
This is Natasha. I also want to thank you for your calming voice and also for just holding a safe space. It was just a relief to know that I didn't have to. I hate technical stuff, and I get a little bit uneasy about getting off a call or whatever. This is my first time doing our telecourse, and I just loved knowing that I could just trust that it would be handled and that you would be holding a very safe and easeful space for me. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for this amazing journey with its unexpected intimacy, and I am really sad to imagine not having continued contact with you, so I hope you will come to some of my other classes, either on the NBC Academy or hopefully in person, because I feel so connected with you. So wherever you are, please consider it, and I will be in touch with you one way or another. It will happen.